commercial break.
That's okay. Yeah, you chat away there with Charlotte Moore there, Karen. That's all right.
I didn't know we were being monitored.
Oh, listen, a lot of times I don't know myself. Listen.
We weren't hearing anything for a while there, and we began to sing, you know, the sound of silence.
That wasn't supposed to happen either, but anyway, that's the producer's job, so me, I just get to sit here and, you know.
Oh, is this going to be a morning about throwing Narnia under the bus? Is that what this is?
Which of you down there are doing that? I mean, come on, knock it off. So you have, you know, and we are obviously going to talk about Bill Irwin and Samuel Beckett with the new, now widely acclaimed on Beckett playing at the Irish Repertory Theatre. But the 30th season of the Irish Rep and the history of that. First of all, it doesn't seem like it was 30 years, but it is, you know, the only year-round theatre company in North America devoted to bringing, you know, Irish and Irish-American work to the stage. Just bring us back, if you will, Charlotte, to those early days, and that you know, you're hooking up with this Kevin fellow with
this awful Kevin fellow, this mean Kevin fellow.
I know. And
well, Kieran and I were in a play together, cast in a play together called Summer by the Irish author Hugh Leonard, and the director Brian Murray cast us together. Little did he know what he was doing. We have lost Brian Murray in this past few months, a great loss to both Kieran and me and to the theatrical community. It was Brian Murray who introduced us and brought us together. And we have been progressing towards 30 years since.
My God, yeah. And that first, indeed, to open your doors way back then, you know, with Sean O'Casey's The Plough and the Stars, you know, it's that's a lot of history right there. And that was pretty bold move to start off with that amazing.
Adrian, it was bold because we didn't know what we were doing. The Plough and the Stars has 16 Irish actors in it, and it was a huge project. We really would probably not have attempted such a big project if we had known more about, if we had been more experienced,
you know,
at that time.
You know, There are many people who have asked me, all right, with all the songs and tunes you've played over now close to 50 years, what's your favorite? And, you know, I say all of them because, you know, it's an awkward question. But anyway, I want to throw it out to you. What's your favorite? What is your favorite that both of you agreed on, because there is, you know, the fact that, you know, most of us know is in that you don't get along that well. But if you had to pick...
I'd say that we each probably have favorites of ones that we're, you know, more proud of than others.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm a bit on the... Like you, Adrian, I think they all had their own joy and their own pain. And I'd say, for me, it's probably I loved The Emperor Jones. That was one of my favorite shows.
And you want to talk about taking on Mission Impossible? Nobody could, unless you saw The Emperor Jones at the Irish Repertory Theatre. There's hardly a way to describe it that would give it justice. you know.
Kieran had everything against him when he started The Emperor Jones. Nobody would have ever thought he could have made it the great success he did. It is a pay on to Kieran that he did that and did it so well and got so recognized.
Yeah, but he roped you into it as well. You know, he announced that this is what you're going to do, and then you had to hear that indirectly. I mean, he is.
Charlotte, what's your Charlotte? I don't think I've ever asked you what your favorite one is.
My favorite, I don't know. I'd say one thing one day and one thing the next. I did like both times when I directed The Plow and the Stars. I love O'Casey. I love my musicals as well. Hard-pressed to ignore them. But the classic plays, O'Casey is my man.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about Beckett. You know, Samuel Beckett. And, you know, not as well, maybe I'm now showing my ignorance here, but Samuel Beckett is as well known as some of the other internationally famous, you know, Irish authors
I would say he's as well known as any of them. He may not be as well understood as any of them.
By anybody.
I mean, he is one of those. You know, once upon a time, Adrian, we were going to call ourselves Tea Towel Productions, because on the tea towels where you have all the famous Irish authors, you know, it would have been Joyce and Beckett and Shaw and Wilde and O'Casey and all of those. So, but Beckett would certainly be on, you know, the Mount Rushmore of Irish authors, you know, chiseled in there with that face that he has. But he is a mystery to many.
He's an enigmatic writer.
Let me ask you, though, about the man himself, and, you know, prompted him to, you know, take himself and his genius, you know, out of Ireland, was it economic considerations, whatever. And in fact, that's not singularly attributable to, you know, to Beckett. Many of authors and artists at the time either had to or chose to get out of Ireland and bring their talent and their genius to somewhere else.
Well, you know, I don't know that it was of economic necessity more than spiritual necessity. You know, it was he felt that Ireland, you know, at the time, just like Joyce did, you know, felt that it was in a very enclosed, parochial, you know, claustrophobic community that he wanted to, that he needed to escape to the, you know, to the salons of Europe in order to find himself, we'll say. So he, in fact, when he did go to Paris, he was the secretary to none other than James Joyce. And so Beckett often transcribed and typed in Joyce's manuscripts, which, you know, which became an O'Finnegan's Wake work with him on that, and just terms of it. So
that he had time to do anything else. that was an undertaking.
You'd think.
Well, indeed. Well, and then of course, you know, he broke out into his own. You know, and he was there. It was, you know, during World War II where he was there. He was part of the resistance in World War II, and had to, in fact, escape and get out of Paris.
Yeah.
You know, during that time, and it was during those waiting years and months, you know, that he wrote his most famous play.
Isn't it interesting, Adrian and Kieran, that both Joyce and Beckett, when they left Ireland for the reasons that Ciarán just stated. Isn't it interesting that once they got out of Ireland, they were completely obsessed with Ireland and wrote about nothing else passionately for the rest of their careers, the rest of their lives?
It is.
I can, by the way, and I can completely identify with that. As a young fella growing up, like in Cavan, all I wanted to do was to go and, you know, go to, you know, are you going to San Francisco? Remember, wear flowers in your hair. I want to do nothing but be a part of American culture. And the second that I got off the boat and came here, I began reading W.B. Yeats.
We think, and indeed, of Beckett as being, you know, a rather serious writer. Don't associate him with much, you know, humor. And if one were to see on Beckett, as we did experience the other night, we wouldn't expecting, you know, some blackguardism to be incorporated into, you know. It's amazing because, you know, I think most people, or a lot of people, if they were going to see, you know, explore the works of Samuel Beckett, would not indeed expect what is highly, highly acclaimed, the reaction of some of the critics, many of which wouldn't be that favorable to most Irish things anyway, Irish productions. But this guy, Bill Irwin, wherever you roll him out of, he's incredible. And he obviously, not only did he conceive the notion, you know, of bringing a tremendous characterization of Beckett, but he took poetic license in many of those obscenes. Who is Bill Irwin?
Good question.
I just want to say, by the way, the takeaway from that is that if we can quote you then, Adrian, we're going to call it a night of blackguardism.
The best, Adrian.
Yeah, we figured that he is going to portray the Beckett that people like myself knew very little about in the first place. But he has made him out to be a tremendous character. And again, I think only Bill Irwin could, you know, pull this off.
Currently, I agree. I agree with you. There's nobody else who's delved that deeply and done as much, studied as much, knows as much, as intimate as much as Bill Irwin with Samuel Beckett going today.
Okay.
Well, what he explores. In it, and it's not probably the more famous part of it, but Beckett was, you know, was so much into vaudeville and into clowning. Buster Keaton made a movie. The only movie I think that Beckett ever made, he made with Buster Keaton. You know, he was a huge fan of the silent movie, of all of, you know, of the mime and of all that. And he really, 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 truly is one of the funniest. You know, he looks at the darkest part of life and makes it funny. You know, that's the genius of Bill Irwin, that nobody, you know, puts that out there on a platform just quite like he does. You know,
Bill,
there's a great fit between the clown and Samuel Beckett, and Bill Irwin is the top clown of the universe today, if certainly in this country.
There must be some Irish in him somewhere, even though you know, he's from, where is he from, in the Midwest?
He admits to his Irishness.
Yeah.
But then only under duress.
Stress, only under stress.
He's a character.
He's from Oklahoma somewhere.
He's from Oklahoma. Yeah.
He is just as old as the donor. I mean, he is, you know, one of them. One of them, you know, let's say he's America's most famous clown. You know, he really has. He has the art, the art of the baggy pants. You know, and it's been so well known for so many years of different shows that he's done. Full Moon was one that was on Broadway, which he got a Tony for.
Yeah.
Old Hats was another. He also, in his television days, and for kids who might be listening to your show, Elmo's World, I think, was the one, and he was Mr. Noodle. So kids have grown up to him being Mr. Noodle.
I want to be Mr. Noodle myself.
Suffice it to say, he didn't come out of nowhere. And, of course, he's no stranger, you know, to the theatre. You know, in some of the best known plays, The Iceman Cometh, who's afraid of Virginia Woolf, best actor in a play. He is so comfortable on stage, but I think by his own admission, he feels very much at home at the Irish Rep. He's got the stage, he's got the audience.
I think he feels that. Yes, you're right, I do. Yes. He is very much at home there. I'm sure you know that we're a great company for eating and drinking and carrying on, and he fits right in. He eats all those terrible muffins and chocolate things and drinks all the coffee that we all do every day. Every day.
He's been coming to the Irish Rep for a good number of years as well. So he actually lives in the neighborhood, and so he's been, you know, we've been good friends with Bill for a good number of years, and I talked to him about actually doing Endgame. It must be 15 years ago now.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out then, and we've been talking about it. So this deck of conversation has been going on for a good many years.
You know, he's epitomizes, you know, the one man show. He's the guy, but he also introduced us to a young dramatic actor.
Finn, isn't he wonderful?
Yeah, a 14-year-old actor, Finn O'Sullivan, and he's brilliant. He adds so much, and of course, Bill Irwin, you know, plays second fiddle to him in his role.
Yes.
There makes it very easy. But he's that fellow's gone places. Definitely, that Finn O'Sullivan, he's great, you know, and to be recognized.
His name is Finn O'Sullivan. I think he might be an Irish kid.
He might be, yeah. And his mother is not that well known unless you're on Facebook or something, in which case.
Yeah.
Wearing Irish on reminds me. Yes, indeed. But it's not bad if you're 14 to have to be mentioned by Ben Brantley of the New York Times. That's not a.
And everybody else, I know.
Yeah.
For everybody, yeah.
The play itself. On Beckett is running through. Tell us about it. Oh, September 26th to November 4th.
No, to November 4th. Yes.
Yeah, November 4th, and it's, you know, any of the reviews are just fantastic. They really are, and rightly so.
None as good as A Night of Blackguardism. That's the best of all.
The Irish Rep, located at 132 West 22nd Street in New York City. Telephone number 212-727-2737. And, of course, to log on to the website is irishrep.org. Or, indeed, if you're listening to IrishRadio.com. We make it easy for you. Just click on to the logo to get all the information that there is on the Irish Repertory Theatre, on Beckett, currently playing, and my guest, the co-founders of Irish Repertory Theatre, Charlotte Moore and Kieran O'Reilly. Again, congratulations. One more feather.
Thank you, Adrian. Thank you very much.
One more feather in the cap. Okay. All right. All right. Okay. All right. You are listening to the Flannelly Show live from New York City, and we are simulcasting throughout the world on IrishRadio.com. Best way to reach us, info@IrishRadio.com.